We'll be in chapter 3. This is Jeremiah's lament over the destruction of Jerusalem. As God speaks through him, it's a tragic day, it's a sad day, a sad time in the history of Israel. At one point in time, they had reached their zenith under King Solomon. And then because of their intermingling with the world, because of their worshiping of foreign gods, the nation divided in two. There was the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. And then finally, as they continued in their decadence and sin, their immoralities and their idolatries, their drunkenness, the Assyrians were brought in to wipe out the northern kingdom, and now the south is being destroyed by the Babylonian Empire. And so Jeremiah, he laments the destruction of Jerusalem. It is a sad time when a nation has wandered from God, and God begins to bring in his hand of discipline. It can be a heavy hand, and his desire is for us to repent of our sins and to turn to him with a whole heart. However, it is extremely unfortunate that not only do the people not repent, but neither do the religious leaders. They continue to bring forth and spew out pablum, tolerance, political correction. They have compromised and they want to make everybody happy all the time. And so they tickle the ears of the people, not with truth, but with warm fuzzies. So they keep coming back and doling out their money so that they can continue to live their comfortable lifestyles. And so they're afraid of the people instead of fearing God. The Bible says the fear of man is a snare. It's a snare. The Bible also says that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And that power comes through the Holy Spirit as we declare the Word of God. It's when we turn away from the Word of God and we begin to seek out our own philosophies, our own ideas of life, is where we will find ourselves in deep trouble and distress, and the nation will crumble. Alexander Tocqueville said, "The greatness of America is found in its fiery pulpits." But I don't know if we still have fiery pulpits. I'm afraid we have pulpits with wooden soldiers without hearts for God. And I fear for myself, and I pray that I would never leave the Word of God and its declarations. I believe many a man of God have started well and have ended poorly. And every man of God behind the pulpit is susceptible, including myself. This is why we must keep ourselves in the Word of God, so that the fire of God's Word will purge the sin out of our lives, so that the blessings of the Lord will be upon us. And so Jeremiah laments the destruction of Jerusalem. And in chapter 3, he talks about the great affliction and the affirmation of hope that is found in God. In verses 1 to 21, Jeremiah talks about that affliction. He displays in verses 22 to 39 his affection for God. And 40 to 66, he talks about the affirmation of what God is doing. Let's begin our reading in chapter 3. He begins to say and declare, he says, "I am the man who has seen affliction by the rod of his wrath." He has led me and made me walk in darkness and not in light. Surely he has turned his hand against me time and time again throughout the day. He has aged my flesh and my skin and broken my bones. He has besieged me and surrounded me with bitterness and woe. He has set me in dark places like the dead of long ago. He has hedged me in so that I cannot get out. He has made my chain heavy even when I cry and shout. He shuts out my prayer. He has blocked my ways with hewn stone. He has made my paths crooked. He has been to me a bear lying in wait, like a lion in ambush. He has turned aside my ways and torn me in pieces. He has made me desolate. He has bent his bow and set me up as a target for the arrow. He has caused the arrows of his quiver to pierce my loins. I have become the ridicule of all my people, their taunting song all the day. The people had turned against Jeremiah. The people had taunted Jeremiah. The people said, Jeremiah, you're a fool. Jeremiah, why do you keep declaring these things? We have our own prophets. They declare to us everything's going to be okay. God is with us. We'll conquer the Babylonians, or we can make peace with the Babylonians, or the allies, Egypt from the south, will come and help us against the Babylonians. And none of it transpired. But Jeremiah's prophecies were true. There are many people that declare and say that the church will go throughout the whole world and conquer the whole world, and then we will usher in the kingdom of Christ. We can do this great job by possibility thinking. We just need self-esteem. The reason there's these crimes in our society is because of the poverty, because people not having opportunity. We can change the world through psychological theories if we just apply ourselves and think positively and confess our destiny. Yes, we can do it. Are you with me? They will say. The Bible says the world is full of sin. It's in the heart of every man and woman. It's a great evil. And the Bible says that sin is going to permeate the earth. Jesus said it'll be in such a fashion that lawlessness will abound and the hearts of many will wax cold. Jesus said when the Son of Man returns to the earth, will he really find faith on the earth? The Bible says that there's coming a time where the Spirit of God is going to be pulled away and the fullness of the lawless one will be released upon the planet. The Bible says there's going to be great judgments as we study the book of Revelation, and these judgments are going to come from God during those 7 years of great tribulation. They're going to be falling upon the earth. It doesn't sound to me that we are going to usher in the kingdom age. It sounds to me that the only one that can usher in the kingdom age is Jesus himself, of which the Bible says he will return a second time, and the armies of the world will turn against him in the battle of Armageddon, and they will try to kill him, shoot him out of the air. But he will but speak and destroy them. And then he will separate the sheep from the goats. That's Bible, folks. That's what the Bible says. Oh, no, no, no. If we just get all the religions of the world together, if we all just gather in prayer gatherings, as the Pope is declaring, then we can solve the world's problems. No. The world needs Jesus. Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Oh, you're too narrow-minded. You're too focused on the Bible. You know, the Bible's a nice book, but you know, you can't really believe everything in the Bible, they'll say. It's written by a bunch of men, you know. It's archaic. This is 2000, you know, the year 2000. Technology and all, you know. We've got the internet with our communications. We've got our science. We've got our medicines. We can solve all the world's problems. The Bible says it's going to get worse. It's going to get filled with pestilences. The Bible says there's going to be famines. The Bible says there's going to be earthquakes. The Bible says there's going to be cataclysmic catastrophes throughout all the whole world, the whole planet. That's what the Bible says. You know what, folks? I believe the Bible. It's never been wrong before. And I believe it will be right in the future. Jeremiah declares, all these things are happening, and the people are mocking me. The people are taunting me, he said. Verse 13, he said, he has caused the arrows of his quiver to pierce my loins. I have become the ridicule of all my people, their taunting song all the day. He has filled me with bitterness. He has made me drink wormwood. He has also broken my teeth with gravel and covered me with ashes. You have moved my soul far from peace. I have forgotten prosperity. And I said, my strength and my hope have perished from the Lord. He got very distraught. You know, we're seeing such a human element within the prophet Jeremiah, man. He's just, he's wiped out. He's in desperate straits, you know. But God's doing a work. God's doing a work. He's going to purge the nation. Because if he doesn't, he's going to lose them all. He's going to lose them all to idolatry. There's a remnant that's still locked with God, and he's going to carry them away to Babylon, and he's going to preserve them, and they're going to ultimately come back to Jerusalem after the 70 years. Nehemiah will travel back. Ezra will travel back. Many others will travel back because God always has a remnant to be saved and preserved. He says in verse 9, remember my affliction and roaming, the wormwood and the gall. My soul still remembers and sinks within me. This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. Now in verse 22, I'm going to tell you guys something. This is a beautiful passage. I sat there and I read it and I reread it and I reread it and I just wanted to cry. Listen to what Jeremiah says next. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in him. We cannot hope in the governments of this world. We cannot hope in our technologies. We cannot hope in our sciences. We hope in God. Great is his faithfulness. He is in control of the whole earth. He has declared it. He will perform it, and he will preserve us. He will take us in the rapture of the church one day. How bad will it get before the rapture comes? I don't know. It could become like Jeremiah. Or we could go tonight. I don't know. But I know this. Great is his faithfulness. He will not forsake us. He will not leave us. The Lord is good to those who wait for him. To the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Paul the Apostle says that we are looking for and waiting for the glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And by doing that, we will receive crowns from the Lord. I love it. We are waiting for the Lord. We're not going to jump ship. We're not going to skate out. We're going to wait for the Lord. God is coming. Now, what should I do in the meantime? Be about my Father's business. I need to live life like I could live to 100 years old, but I need to be ready for the Lord, for he's coming for us in the rapture of the church. He's going to snatch us away. We don't want to be left behind. We want to go up in the rapture. The Bible says the Lord is good to those who wait for him. We're waiting for him. He will be good to us. The Bible says to the soul who seeks him, it is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. We need to seek him. Seek him. Remember what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6:33? What did he tell us? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then what? All these things shall be added unto you. All the things of the kingdom of God are going to be added unto us if we seek him first. How do we seek the Lord? Well, Deuteronomy tells us in chapter 4, verse 29, it says, but if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him if thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Oh God, I want to know you. If you seek him with all your heart, you will find him. He'll be there for you. In Psalm 105, verse 4, it says, seek the Lord and his strength, seek his face evermore. Isaiah the prophet said in Isaiah 55, 6, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Hosea the prophet said, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. In Luke's gospel it says, for everyone that asks receives, and he that seeks finds, and to him that knocks it shall be opened. Wow. God says if we seek him, he's going to do incredible things. Now here's the question for you and me. Are we seeking him? What do you need to have happen in your life right now? Who needs to get saved? What situation are you going through in your marriage, in your personal life, in your finances? Are you seeking him with your whole heart? He says, if you seek me, you'll find me. If you seek me, the door will be open for you. If you seek me, all things will be added unto you. Well, how do I seek him? Go to the Word of God. For in the Word, you'll find treasures of gold. You seek him through prayer. You seek him in fellowship with other believers. You seek him in living for him daily. You're in communion with him. And then he begins to line up your life. He begins to take care of you. He begins to open the doors. He throws his provisions your way. And things begin to unfold. He teaches you how to live for him so that your marriage and family can be blessed. Isn't that what it's all about? Seek him. Jeremiah, he says, the Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Wait quietly. Don't get all stirred up and stressed out. Wait quietly for the Lord. It is good for a man to bear the yoke in his youth. Verse 27, let him sit alone and keep silent because God has laid it on him. Verse 29, let him put his mouth in the dust. There may yet be hope. Let him give his cheek to the one who strikes him and be full of reproach. For the Lord will not cast off forever. Though he causes grief, yet he will show compassion according to the multitude of his mercies, for he does not afflict willingly nor grieve the children of men. The Lord has compassion on us. I want you to turn in your Bibles just quickly for a moment because I want to share something with you. I want you to turn to Luke's Gospel, and I want you to go to chapter 1, verse 46 of Dr. Luke. 146. I want you to hear something very important. God displayed his mercies and his salvation through some very precious people who are going to have the opportunity to see the Messiah born, brought into this world, and be dedicated unto God in the temple. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 46, we find Mary, the mother of Jesus, as she declares her beautiful song, her Magnificat, And regarding the Christ child, listen to what she says. Verse 46, Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior." Mary needed to be saved. Highlight that, underline that, because Mary is not one who saves people. She herself admitted that she needed to be saved. God is her Savior. "For he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed." And truly she is. He was chosen to bear the Christ child. "For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his," here you go, folks, "and his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty men from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever." God's compassion is upon Israel, and God was there to bring them salvation through their Messiah, who is Jesus, who is the Christ. God did not forsake Israel. He saved a bunch of, you know, these 12 Jewish guys, you know, and they proclaimed the message first in Jerusalem. 3,000 and 5,000, you know, are saved. And God's outpouring of the Spirit started with the Jewish people in Jerusalem. And today, Jews are still giving their hearts to Jesus Christ. God has not forsaken them. Unfortunately, most of the Jewish people are blinded. They are not receiving Jesus as their Savior. And God will deal heavily once again with them in the Great Tribulation period, where the Spirit of God will be poured out upon the 144,000 Jewish virgin males who will proclaim Jesus is the Christ, their Messiah, in the Great Tribulation period. And God will send them two witnesses, Elijah and Moses, possibly Enoch or Elijah. We're not sure which, but we know Moses. And they will come again and be two witnesses that will proclaim that Jesus is their Messiah. There will be an everlasting angel going around the world proclaiming Jesus as the Messiah. And many Jewish people will come to know Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior in the Great Tribulation period. And also many Gentiles. You and I, as the bride of Christ, will be up in heaven at the marriage supper of the Lamb during those 7 years. Praise God, we're out of here. God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation. And this is the work of the mighty hand of God, for he is a merciful God. He is not willing that any should perish, but all would come to repentance. And God came to save the Jew first, and then the Gentile. I want you to read next from from Simeon in Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, verse 25. Simeon, the priest who was doing service there at the dedication of the Lord Jesus Christ, go to Luke's Gospel 2:25. "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms." They brought in little Jesus, and he took him in his arms according to the law. He dedicated him there in the temple. He took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel." And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." Wow. Simeon, man, he just, through the Spirit of God, declares that Jesus will be a light to the Gentiles and that he is a glory of God's people, Israel. God's Spirit is going to be poured out upon all people through Jesus Christ, so that we as Gentiles who are can be saved and are saved through Jesus, who is the Messiah to the Jew first and the Savior of our souls to the Gentiles second. Jesus said before he resurrected, he ascended to heaven, he was already resurrected, he said to the disciples, he says, you're going to receive power from my Father who is on high, and you will be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. Peter was mainly an apostle to the Jew, as Paul became that apostle to the Gentile world, and the gospel is reached all the way on the other side of planet Earth from Jerusalem. It's reached right here in Hawaii, and people are still being saved in Jesus Christ. Amen? Man, I'd love it. Anyway, go back to Jeremiah. I just got excited just looking at the mercies of God and the Messiah to come and the Savior and what he's done for us and what he's going to do for us. You know what I'm saying? Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 31. For the Lord will not cast off forever, praise the Lord. Though he causes grief, yet he will show compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. For he does not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men, to crush under one's feet all the prisoners of the earth, to turn aside the justice due a man before the face of the Most High, or subvert a man in his cause the Lord does not approve. Who is he who speaks and it comes to pass when the Lord has not commanded it? Is it not from the mouth of the Most High that woe and well-being proceed? Why should a living man complain? A man for the punishment of his sins. Oh man, God forbid we complain as Christians. Don't be a complainer and a whiner. This and that and the other, how come I'm there? Hey, you want to learn about complaining? Read the book of Numbers, and I guarantee you that will cure your complaining. Really? Yeah, go read it tonight before you go to sleep. Read it this week. You'll discover the results of complaining. He says, verse 40, let us search out and examine our ways and turn back to the Lord. That is the great prayer for America. Turn back to the Lord. Let us examine our ways. We are filled with pornography. We're filled with immorality. We're filled with crime. We're filled with drug addiction. We're filled with alcoholism. We're filled with greed. We're filled with briberies. We're filled with homosexuality. We are filled to the gill with all this sin, with abortion, the murder of babies. Man, let us examine our ways and turn back to the Lord. Lest something worse than the World Trade Towers and the Pentagon happens upon America. We can say, oh, we've got it all worked out. We've got the FBI activated. We've got the CIA operating. We've got the police. We've got everything going on, man. The FAA, everybody's activated. We're ready to go. But you know what? How can you fight against God? If he's going to permit tragedies and horrible things to happen to America, it's going to happen because of our sins. But if we turn from our wicked ways and we seek his face and we pray, then God says, I will heal your land. It's our only hope. It's our only hope. Let us lift our hearts, verse 41, and hands to God in heaven. The lifting of hands is an element of surrender, praise, and adoration. Do you lift your hands to the Lord when the songs declare, lift your hands to the Lord?
Well, I don't want to do that. That's kind of, you know, too much. You know, it's getting kind of fanatical.
Think about these Islamic extremists flying their airplanes, our airplanes, into the World Trade Towers. That's fanatical. To raise your hands in adoration and surrender to God should be something that we just immediately would do in response out of loving hearts who have received the Savior of our souls. But I'm kind of timid. Forget all that, man. Forget all that.
Well, that's not very manly.
Hey, come on already. You go to the football games, you do the wave, you know, it goes around the stadium. You think that's manly? Well, I don't know. Come on already. Worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You know what I'm saying? Hey, he deserves our praise. He could have just, you know, wiped us out. But no, I'll die for you. All right. We have transgressed, verse 42, and rebelled. You have not pardoned. You have covered yourself with anger and pursued us. You have slain and not pitied. You have covered yourself with a cloud that prayer should not pass through. Our prayers are of no effect to heaven unless we go through Jesus Christ in true repentance. That's why I blow my mind when these Christian ministers of whoever they are, they go to do a prayer and they don't say Jesus. Whether it be for the federal government or the military or wherever you're located, whether it's in the schools, if you don't ask in Jesus' name, your prayer hits the clouds, man, and it's not going to go any farther. For Jesus said, you must ask in my name, and then I will do it. You don't ask in his name, forget it, man. Don't even pray. It's useless. It's useless. Because he said, you have to ask in my name. I think he knew that this time would come where people will cower in fear and not mention the name of Jesus Christ. He knew it. And it becomes a great division about those who have real faith in God, who really believe in Jesus Christ, and those who are fake, phony, and fraudulent. Fearful. The fear of man is a snare. Hey, we got to go for God. We're going to pray in Jesus' name, amen? Never will we not pray in Jesus' name. Because Jesus said, that's how prayers are answered. We pray for them, that they'll come to know Jesus personally, and they pray in Jesus' name. Verse 45, you have made us an offscouring and refuge in the midst of the peoples. All our enemies have opened their mouths against us. It says, fear and a snare have come upon us. Isn't that what's happening? Fear and a snare. You're not politically correct, Daryl. What's wrong with you? You're not being tolerant. What's wrong with you? Hey, I'm Bible. That's all I can tell you. I'm Bible. I'll die. Bible. That's it. I don't know anything else. I'm not smart enough. I'm not clever enough. This is the word of God. This is what God said. He says, fear and a snare have come upon us, desolation and destruction. My eyes overflow with rivers of water, man. He's weeping. He's lamenting for the destruction of the daughter of my people. My eyes flow and do not cease without interruption till the Lord from heaven looks down and sees. My eyes bring suffering to my soul because of all the daughters of my city. My enemies withhold cause, hunted me down like a bird. They silenced my life in the pit and threw stones at me. The waters flowed over my head. I said, I am cut off. I called on your name, O Lord. I love it, man. I call on the name of the Lord, says Jeremiah. From the lowest pit, you have heard my voice. Do not hide your ear from my sign, from my cry for help. You drew near on the day I called on you and said, do not fear. There you go. That's what we need today. We need people without fear. Now, we go forward in love. I'm not trying to be mean or belligerent. I'm just trying to say, hey, but we got to be bold. We've got to be honest and bold with the scriptures. He says, you drew near on the day I called on you and said, do not fear. Verse 58, O Lord, you have pleaded the case for my soul. You have redeemed my life. O Lord, you have seen how I am wronged. Judge my case. You have seen all their vengeance, all their schemes against me. You have heard their reproach, O Lord, all their schemes against me. The lips of my enemies and their whispering against me all the day. Look at their sitting down and their rising up. I am their taunting song, says Jeremiah. Repay them, O Lord, according to the work of their hands. Give them a veiled heart. Your curse be upon them in your anger. Pursue and destroy them from under the heavens of the Lord. Ooh, he's sick 'em, Lord, sick 'em, go get 'em. I like it. Hey, you know what? There's people in our world who, they're just ignorant. They don't know. We want to reach them. And there are people who are just downright absolutely want to see Christianity extinguished, removed from the planet. It's a reality. Lord, you take care of them. We're going to keep sending forth your message, the message of salvation. How the gold has become dim. How changed the fine gold. The stones of the sanctuary are scattered at the head of every street. The precious sons of Zion, valuable as fine gold, how they are regarded as clay pots, the work of the hands of the potter. Chapter 4, verse 3. Even the jackals present their breasts to nurse their young, but the daughter of my people is cruel like ostriches in the wilderness. The tongue of the infant clings to the roof of its mouth for thirst. The young children ask for bread, but no one breaks it for them. Those who ate delicacies are desolate in the streets. Those who were brought up in scarlet embrace ash heaps. Those who are rich, man, this is what they got now, ash heaps, man. Everything has been taken from them by the Babylonians. Everything, food, everything they ever had. The punishment of the iniquity of the daughter of my people is greater than the punishment of the sin of Sodom, which was overthrown in a moment with no hand to help her. Her Nazarites were brighter than snow and whiter than milk. They were more ruddy in body than rubies, like sapphire in their appearance. Now their appearance is blacker than soot. They go unrecognized in the streets. Their skin clings to their bones. It has become as dry as wood. He says, man, they used to be young and strong and just healthy and everything. But now, man, their skin clings to their bones, starving to death. Now their appearance is blacker than soot. They go unrecognized in the streets. Their skin clings to their bones. It has become as dry as wood. Verse 9, those slain by the sword are better off than those who die of hunger, for these pine away, stricken for lack of the fruits of the field. Now listen close to this. The hands of the compassionate women have cooked their own children. They became food for them in the destruction of the daughter of my people. Why didn't they repent to God? Because they were set in their self-centered ways. They thought they had figured it all out, and they were completely wrong. And so they cook the babies, just like abortion. The Lord has fulfilled his fury. He has poured out his fierce anger. He kindled a fire in Zion, and it has devoured its foundations. The kings of the earth and all inhabitants of the world would not have believed that the adversary and the enemy could enter the gates of Jerusalem. Because of the sins of her prophets and the iniquities of her priests, who shed in her midst the blood of the just. Remember when Jesus confronted the religious leaders and he said, which of the prophets have you not killed, man? Their blood is crying out. They wandered blind in the streets. They have defiled themselves with blood so that no one would touch their garments. They cried out to them, go away, unclean. Go away, go away. Do not touch us. When they fled and wandered, those among the nations said, they shall no longer dwell here. The face of the Lord scattered them. He no longer regards them. The people do not respect the priests nor show favor to the elders. On television, what do they usually do with ministers and priests? They either whacked out criminals, you know, total extremists, or they're just, you know, weirdos, goofballs. Verse 17, still our eyes failed us, watching vainly for our help. In our watching, we watched for a nation that could not save us. They were hoping Egypt would save them. No way. They tracked our steps so that we could not walk in our streets. Our end was near. Our days were over, for our end had come. Our pursuers were swifter than the eagles of the heavens. They pursued us on the mountains and lay in wait for us in the wilderness. The breath of our nostrils, the anointed of the Lord, was caught in their pits, of whom we said, under his shadow we shall live among the nations. Verse 21, rejoice and be glad, O daughter of Edom. Now he starts talking about Edom. The ones to the south, you who dwell in the land of Uz, the cup shall also come, The cup shall also pass over to you, and you shall become drunk and make yourself naked. The punishment of your iniquity is accomplished, O daughter of Zion. Speaking of Jerusalem, he will no longer send you into captivity. He will punish your iniquity, O daughter of Edom, and he will uncover your sins. Edom to the south, hey, God's going to take care of you too. You think, oh, look what's happening to Israel. Look what's happening to Judah. Whoa, look what happened to Jerusalem. Ha, ha, ha. Hey, your time will come too, Edom, Jeremiah declares. In chapter 5, he says, remember, O Lord, what has come upon us. Look and behold our reproach. Lord, don't forget us. Don't forget us. Our inheritance has been turned over to aliens and our houses to foreigners. We have become orphans and wastes. Our mothers are like widows. We pay for the water we drink, and our wood comes at a price. They pursue at our heels. We labor and have no rest. We have given our hand to the Egyptians and the Assyrians to be satisfied with bread. Our fathers sinned and are no more, but we bear their iniquities. Servants rule over us. There is none to deliver us from their hand. We get our bread at the risk of our lives because of the sword in the wilderness. Our skin is hot as an oven because of the fever of famine. They ravished the women in Zion, the maidens in the cities of Judah. Princes were hung by their hands, and elders were not respected. Young men ground at the millstones. Boys staggered under loads of wood. The elders have ceased gathering at the gate, and the young men from their music. You may say, how could that happen in a society? Turn on the news and watch what happened to the Afghan people under the Taliban. No music. Even I read an article of a 14-year-old girl in that society. They see her, you're 14. You're going to be my wife along with my other wives. And they take them and they have sex with them. And then someone else may come along and, hey, can I have sex with that one over there? Sure, go ahead. And they're just handed off as instruments of pleasure for men. They ravished the women. The joy of our hearts has ceased. Our dance has turned into mourning. The crown has fallen from our head. Woe to us. Woe to us, for we have sinned. Oh, could this ever happen in America? It's happening. It's happening. Don't sleep. Because of this, our heart is faint. Because of these things, our eyes grow dim. Because of Mount Zion, which is desolate, with foxes walking about on it. You, O Lord, remain forever. Your throne from generation to generation. Why do you forget us forever and forsake us for so long a time? Turn us back to you, O Lord, and we will be restored. Renew our days as of old, unless you have utterly rejected us and are very angry with us. Did not God bring them back? 70 years of captivity. They were brought back to Jerusalem, and then they took their own Messiah and crucified him. They were scattered throughout the world in 70 AD, taken once again as slaves and conquered by the Romans and wiped out. But yet God made a promise to Abraham that all the nations of the world would be blessed through your seed. And God made a promise to King David. He says, your throne will be forever. It will once again come to the land of Israel. And in 1948, they have become a nation once again. And in 1967, Jerusalem came under the reign of Israel. And right now, we're waiting for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to come. And he will enter into the eastern gate that has been blocked up by those who reject Christianity, by the Arabs. They blocked up the eastern gate. And they put a cemetery in front of it. And they have blasphemies against Jesus Christ and against his Father in and on the Dome of the Rock Mosque. Jesus is coming back like a lion from the tribe of Judah. And he will judge righteously. And I pray we always walk with him and be faithful and seek him. Amen. Let's pray.